be close, close to you.
Hallelujah.
Bless the name of the Lord today. Hallelujah. Welcome to Exalting Jesus. Lord, we thank you today. We thank you for another opportunity to exalt you, to magnify you, and to lift you up. Lord, we thank you that, Lord, you are God, and you are God moving right now in our direction as we are pressing towards you. So, Lord, have your way today. Move on the mighty man of God today as he is blessing us today, Lord. Move on the mighty man of God today that as he is speaking to us, Lord. Move on the mighty man of God today as he is praying for us, Lord. Move on him today like never before.
Your recording has reached the maximum length. To replay your message, press 1. To delete and re-record your message, press 3.
Amen, amen. We're having some technical difficulties trying to get Minister Sir Ryan on the line. So I need you guys to pray with us right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, we bless you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we worship you.
Hello.
Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you today, Lord, that we are exalting you, Lord, that we are lifting you up and we are magnifying your favor on this line today. We thank you for the man of God that as he goes forward today, that you release a mighty word, that, Lord, you release favor, grace, and love, that we can stand before you and exalt you today like never, ever, ever before. Have your mighty way on this broadcast today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. God bless you, man of God.
God bless you. Can you hear me? Are we good?
Yes, we're good. Loud and clear.
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you for that introduction and for that beautiful song. I chose that song, and I would ask a request, if you don't mind, that we would just play that one more time, but and just kind of play it low and let that song play one more time. There's something in that. Our desire is to be close to him. Hallelujah.
Lord, I love you.
You have me right
here. How I love you.
How I love you.
More and more. Oh,
if you want to find me, how much you love me. God, hallelujah.
I just want.
Hallelujah. We want to be close to you. Hallelujah.
Close to you.
Hallelujah.
Of your wings,
of your wings,
it's high.
coming through the door. Hallelujah. Look at Jesus' goodness. Hallelujah, Lord. I thank you for your sin is our sin. The blood of the Lord is our sin. Hallelujah.
Come on, say
hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, Father God. Hallelujah. You said in your word you are a mother or a father to the fatherless, Lord God. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we just thank you that you are our Father, Lord God. Even when we have absentee of parents in the natural, you are our Father, Lord God, meaning our source, the one that we come to. You said in your word you would be a father to the fatherless, Lord. So we thank you right now for your fathering spirit that is hovering over the earth right now, and you're brooding over your children, Lord God. I thank you. I praise you for this another day, Lord God, that we can just bask in your presence, Lord. We thank you that our hearts are being drawn to want to be close to you, Lord God. And as you draw us close to you, we will draw near to you. And your word already says if we draw near to you, you will draw near to us, Lord God. It is an amazing entanglement as you begin to draw us into you and entangle us in you, Lord God. We get more and more wrapped up in you, Lord God, which means we're getting more and more wrapped up into eternal life. Lord, I thank you for eternal life, the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, the anointing of the same, Lord God. I thank you. I praise you for the fire of your spirit, Lord God. I thank you for the living water. I thank you for the wind of your spirit. I thank you for every demonstration of your Holy Spirit, Lord God. He is pure. He is holy. Hallelujah. There is nothing foul in him. So, Lord, we thank you that he is making us pure and holy from the core, from within our hearts. Hallelujah. Lord God, I pray right now that every listener on this line would just be blessed. Lord God, I pray a special anointing, a downpour from heaven, Lord God, that will start this day, Lord God, and continue a revival in our hearts, Lord God. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, I pray against all distraction and disturbances. Hallelujah. And I yield myself to you, my soul, my heart, my mind, my spirit, my vocal cords, every part of me belongs to you, Lord. Let me not flesh speak. Let me not be seen, heard, or even known in this thing. But God, I am a vessel. Flow through me, Lord God, that your people will hear what you need to say on today through this messenger. In the mighty, glorious name that is above every name, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord God. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Honor to all of the lambs of God, the sheep of God, the people that call God their father. Hallelujah. And the people that God recognizes as my sons in the earth. Honor upon you. Blessings upon you. Hallelujah. And glory to God in the highest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the Exalting Jesus broadcast. Y'all know what it is. So just give God a thank you, a praise for a moment. Hallelujah. On last week, we spoke about understanding this covenant. Hallelujah. I feel the Spirit moving upon me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We spoke about knowing and understanding the covenant, how God will show his covenant to those who fear him. Hallelujah. And we spoke about the fear of God. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom has a beginning. You got to start somewhere, and it starts with fearing God. That means understanding that he's holy. A lot of people nowadays think God is down with this and down with that. He's down with everything. And, well, God knows and he understands, so I'm going to just do my thing. No, 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 beloved. God is holy. He wants you to understand that. He's holy. He could consume each one of us in a moment. But he's so holy that his holiness won't allow him not to show us love, even though we are sinful beings to start out with. I said to start out with. Now, many say we're all sinners. You got to get that out of your understanding because that's not what the Bible teaches. It doesn't teach that we are all sinners and that we're all going to continue to live a sinful life and God's just going to accept us like that. No, 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 no. The thing about fire is fire consumes whatever it gets a hold to until there's nothing left of that thing, but the fire remains. The thing about God is he's a holy. The Bible says that our God is a consuming fire. That's in Hebrews 12th chapter. It says that our God is a consuming fire. In other words, that's showing you a demonstration of the way his spirit interacts with us. Yes, you may be sinful, but he says, I come to take it all away. There's a point to where the spirit of God becomes like fire. There's different measures of the spirit or different ways that he demonstrates himself. He'll demonstrate himself in a mighty rushing wind. That's when he moves through the church and everybody gets to speaking in tongues. And sometimes he'll demonstrate himself in a living waters. That's when you feel the moisture of the anointing upon you. You can feel God. And all of a sudden you just want to cry. And you just want to praise God and weep and lay out in his presence. Nothing wrong with any of those demonstrations. But then there's the demonstration of the fire of God. For the Bible declares that Jesus will baptize you in the Holy Ghost and in fire. So that fire comes to purge you, to take away something that ought not be, to purify. Just like you put gold through the fire to cook out all the impurities, that nothing remains. The only thing that can remain is the pure essence of the gold. When you get eternal life in your spirit, you are now made a new person. Your essence, the pure person of who you are now, that new person is holy. It desires God. That's why when you sin, you feel bad. You when you do the old stuff you used to do, you might still do it, but something on the inside says, I can't live like this no more. And you start reaching for God. You start reaching for his righteousness. He says if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you're blessed because you're going to be filled. In other words, I'm going to fill you with so much righteousness on the inside that I'm going to have to consume the outside. That means the old way got to die so that the new can come forth. Hallelujah. It's like a seed when you plant it in the ground. The outside part of that seed going to die, and what's in it comes out. And what's in it is so great. Who could imagine a huge tree? You look up to the sky and see a big, huge tree. They got trees so big out here. They got them so big that they can drill a tunnel through the middle of it that your car can ride through. That, you know, they can put a highway through the middle of some of these trees. That's how big the tree trunk is. But it starts out as a little tiny seed. Starts out as a little bit. So we got to get that understanding with the word of God. It starts out as a seed, but once it's in you and it remains, then he says you cannot sin. He's talking about that inward person, that man who you are. Now that flesh might go after the world. It might do something wrong, but the real you is going to be at war with it, saying, no, I'm reaching for God. And eventually, if you draw near to him, he will draw near back to you. This is not the message. I'm going to get into it, but this is the exhortation. Somebody needs to hear this. Somebody's struggling with some things. Hallelujah. Somebody saying, I want to rededicate. You can. You have. You have rededicated in your heart already. Just start walking in it. Hallelujah. God is going to draw the backsliders in this season. I believe there are some backsliders that are going to be drawn back to God, but I need to give you a fair warning. You that hear my voice right now, you've been far from God, and the enemy has pulled you back, and now God is drawing you. He's put it in you to draw near to him. If you're pulling near to God, it's not because you got it in you to do it. He put it in you to do it. That means he's drawing you, and if you draw near, he's going to draw nearer to you, and next thing you know, you're going to be connected with him one-on-one. You're going to be close to him, as in the words of that song. And in his presence, there's protection. But I'll get back to that later. But listen, you've been in a backslidden condition, but the Lord is drawing you back to him. Don't go back anymore from this point. We're in a time now where it's critical that we move forward, and drawing backwards is dangerous. It's dangerous. It's very dangerous. I'm trying to stay calm on today because I want to get into the teaching mode and make sure people can follow what I'm saying and make sure it's clear and heard and understood to the glory of God. Hallelujah. So on last week, we began to speak about the covenant, and I expounded on it a little bit. And I know, like I said, it's not something that can be done in one single setting. This is a multiple series, and I didn't even finish the series that I started previous to that, but I had to put that on hold because the Lord was dealing with me and showing me that people don't really understand the covenant. We don't even understand what covenant is. But covenant is an agreement that should not be broken. So, you know, when man makes covenant with another man, say we're going to be covenant partners, business partners, well, there shouldn't be any shady business there. It should be what you said you're going to do, you should honor it. What they said they're going to do, they should honor it. Or we can take it into the marriage setting. When you say I do and you really get into a marriage covenant, then it's supposed to be you giving it everything you said you're going to give it on both ends. Okay, but nowadays we live in the day where the Bible even says in the last days men will be truth breakers. In other words, they're going to break covenant. They'll be covenant breakers. That's the mindset of people today because we're in a time where wickedness is abounding. Evil is multiplying. Just look at the news. Look at the world. Look at the condition of the world. The Bible foretells that these things are going to happen. It tells us that evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse. It doesn't say the world's going to get better and better, but the kingdom is not of this world. So we represent something totally different. We're in this world, but not of this world. Oh, I understand what I'm saying today. Watch this. So God gave us a covenant. But what I love about God is he knew that man was going to be covenant breakers. Been that way from the very beginning. Man would break covenant. You know, Moses is as mighty of a man of God as he was, and as powerful as Moses was, and faithful. The Bible says Moses was faithful in all his house. In other words, out of all the people, he was the most faithful of his time. He was all that to God. That's what God said about him. Yet Moses comes off the top of the mountains and he breaks the stone tablets that God gives him. God writes that with his hand to tell the people, I'm making a covenant with you. This is my law. Keep it. See, anytime God, let me park this right quick, real fast right here. Anytime God makes a covenant, God also has expectation. I'm going to say it again. Anytime God makes a covenant with you, he might talk to you in an individual way and make a covenant with you. When he does, there's always an expectation. So first thing God did was he gave them his law. Now, we're not under that law. We're not under that law. That doesn't make us lawless people that we don't have to obey God. Let me say this. As long as there has been God, there has been law. Before man was brought forth in the earth, there was law. Okay? This is why the angels that transgressed, the Bible says, they transgressed. That means they went against the law. You can't transgress where there's no law. They went against the law of God in heaven, and they were cast down, okay? They were brought to a lower estate. So God is always a God of law and order. Howbeit, that law he gave Moses can't save nobody. It's not our salvation. We get that, but it serves its purpose. It's in the book for a reason, and we've got to know the Lord in order to understand his covenant. Now, Psalms chapter, I believe it's chapter 24. I'm going to start there as I did last week. And I'm going to try to teach on this today. Hallelujah. Psalms chapter 24. Let me find this spot real quick here. It may not be Psalms 24. Well, it says, they that fear the Lord, he reveals his secrets to. Just one moment here. Let me find that real quick. But it says he reveals his covenant to them that fear his name, okay? So when you fear God, then his covenant is now understood. See, a lot of people don't have the fear of God in their spirit these days. A lot of people have not the fear of God in their spirit, okay? And this is why there's so many misunderstandings, so many false teachings, so many people that just can't be taught what the covenant really is about. But when you fear God and you have the right kind of fear, not talking about you're afraid of God and you won't approach him. See, that's not what this covenant is all about. That's not what we're to teach you, okay? That's not what it's all about. But the fear of God is to understand that who he is and to reverence and respect him to the point that you know that, hey, he could destroy you if he wants to. Well, if somebody can chime in with that scripture, I'm having a hard time with my Bible, my electronic Bible here, pulling it up. Everything's locking up on me. But we pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, we bind the spirit of distraction and disturbance right now in Jesus' name. It says to them that fear the Lord, he reveals his secrets. But it also says he will show his covenant. I'm going to just move on. I'm not even going to try to look that up right now. I can't find it. You can find it on your own time. But we started out there last week. So when the fear of God enters your spirit, then there's a wisdom that follows it. He says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. One thing is, you can't really teach the fear of God. God has to bring that to you. But you can teach people how to be open to it. You can teach by your example of your lifestyle, by your godly communication, by your character, by your ways. Then people say, that man fears God or that woman fears God. And then that's when revelation begins to open up to you from the Spirit of God, because he says, I'm going to share some things with you. Now, everything God shared with you ain't for you to share with everybody else. But then some things God's going to share with you concerning a people, because he's going to assign you to share some things with a people that need to know. I said they need to know. Now, the covenant that we are in is called the covenant of grace and truth. I need us to understand that. I went over that last week. If you listen, I'll go over it a little bit this week. But grace and truth. So a lot of people get stuck on grace. They can't move and transition into truth. A lot of people get stuck on the grace message, and they can't move into the truth. The Bible says we should come into the knowledge of truth. It says, speaks of the evil people, say they are ever learning but never come to the knowledge of the truth. That means you got to come to a place where you know the truth. Why? Because that's your freedom. That's your freedom. Jesus says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. It'll make you free when you know it. He didn't say when you think about it or when you think you know it, but you got to know it. How are you going to know it? He got to teach you this. Watch this. I'm gonna go to Isaiah. I'm going to go to Isaiah. I'm going to share this with some people. Isaiah chapter 28. Go around about verse number 9. It says, whom shall he teach knowledge? He. Who's the he there? He's talking about God. Whom shall he teach? So he teaches you to know it. Knowledge. So the knowledge of the truth, knowing the truth, is what's going to make you free. You can, listen, we can pray for you, lay hands on you. You can go to the altar. You can put all kind of grease on your forehead. They can do the little thing where they push your head back and make you lay down on the floor like the power of God knocked you down, but really the preacher was just stronger than you and knocked you in the forehead. Sometimes that happens in church, y'all, and the people falling out because they tired of you touching on their head. But, you know, we can do all that stuff. And there's some, you know, you can cast the devil out of people, do all that stuff, and they still not free. Why? Because they bound in their mind because they don't know. God said, the lack of knowledge, my people are destroyed, right? We know this is in the Bible. He says, for the lack of knowledge, my people are destroyed. He didn't say for the lack of power. We got all kind of power, but people need knowledge now. The first thing God said was, let there be power. No, he didn't. He said, let there be light. In other words, I need you to see clearly. I need you to have an understanding of who I am and what I'm trying to do for you so you can be free. He said, let there be light. The first things recorded in history that God spoke, in the beginning, let there be light. So he wants you to know some stuff. So I said, whom shall he teach knowledge? I'm just a mouthpiece. Okay? He says, whom shall he teach knowledge? That's a question mark there. He's the teacher. Whom shall he teach knowledge? Then he's going to tell you who's ready to receive it. Watch this. And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? So doctrine is important. The Old Testament prophet was talking about it. Jesus talked about it in Revelation. He talked about it in the Gospels. Paul talked about it. John talked about it. Peter talked about it. All these preachers nowadays, well, doctrine don't matter as long as we got his presence. Well, you got to make sure you got the right presence. You can have a presence come upon you. I'm going to leave that alone. You can have a presence and it not be the Spirit of God. You're going to know it's God when you know the truth. And the truth will tell you how to know what's God and what's not. Watch this now. Because everything done in Jesus' name ain't of Jesus. Or else he wouldn't tell them, I don't know you. He says there's going to be many in that day of judgment saying, Lord, Lord, We did all these wonderful things in your name. He said, I don't know you. You can use the name. You can say it was God all day long. But if God don't put his stamp of approval on it, then God ain't in it. It don't make no difference. If bishop, archbishop, whatever title you want to tack on says it. If God says I'm not in it, then God's not in a thing. Now, watch this. He says, whom shall he make to know knowledge, or whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. This is where we got to get off of the milk of the word. We got to get off the grace. Okay? We got to move into the knowing of him now because he wants to show his covenant. If you're on this line listening, then you're blessed because he's speaking to you about his covenant. Because it ain't what we think oftentimes. Watch this. It says, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. He's repeating himself. That's why sometimes I'll say, let me say that again, and I'll repeat myself. This is what the Spirit of God will do because he's trying to drill something into your spirit and into your understanding by repetitive hearing of it. They've come by what? Hearing. Hearing by what? The Word of God. What am I giving you? The Word of God. So this is why he repeats himself, line upon line. You hear the same thing over and over. Why did that preacher keep saying that? Well, because he didn't get it the first time. Why that preacher keep saying that? Because you still ain't putting precept upon precept. You got them, but they all mixed up. But God said, I'm going to show you how to line it up, line upon line. It's going to be a straight shot. I'm going to make this thing plain to you, and you're going to have a knowledge of my doctrine. Watch this. It's what he wants us to do. It says, hear a little, there a little. And he's going to take you, show you a little bit here in the Old Testament, a little bit there in the New Testament, a little bit here in the Old Testament, a little bit there in the New Testament. But the Holy Spirit is the one that's doing all the teaching. So that's how he teaches you right there. Now, and somebody said, well, that's Old Testament you're reading, brother. Yeah, well, he's prophesying the new. The very next verse, he talks about them, the speaking in tongues. But I'm not even going to go into that. So he's telling you this is how God will teach you. It's him that teaches us. It's him that shows us. Watch this. God wants you to know his covenant. What is this covenant really all about? It's more than just grace. And it can't be truth without grace. It can't be truth without grace because we can't handle. Y'all remember that movie? You can't handle the truth. We can't handle the truth, y'all. Okay? So we have to have his grace in order to receive the truth of God. Watch this. There's a scripture in the book of Peter that says that we should grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. That's 2 Peter 3:18. It says we should grow in grace and in knowledge. He puts the grace first. So you can't come into the knowledge of the truth without the grace of God because the truth will destroy you by itself. That's what the law did. It told you the truth. You are filthy, dirty. God is holy and pure, and you're doomed. And if you don't have a sacrifice to stand on your behalf, then you're gonna have to face punishment of a sinner. That's basically what the law said in a nutshell. That's the truth. That truth remains. Now, I said earlier that God has never been a God without law. Watch this. We're in the New Testament, and a lot of people use the word law, and they automatically hear something that you didn't say. They hear you saying, we're under the law. You got to do it this way. You got to go back under that. No, that's not what people are saying when they talk about the law, okay? But the law is left in place to teach us. Now, God is a God that's always had a law. I'm going to show you something. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 2. Okay? He says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. So God says, I'm going to give you a law that can make you free from another law. The old law cannot save you, but the law of the Spirit. So now we're not even talking fleshly carnal things. We're not even talking about Moses coming off the mountaintop with the stone tablets, which he threw down and broke, which shows you that even he as a great man of God was not worthy, but there's somebody greater. Hallelujah. Watch this. Jesus is the greater one. And he's the one that the covenant is through. So I said we need to understand covenant. Covenant is an agreement. It's an agreement. God made covenant with Adam. He broke it. God made covenant with Noah. Noah died. God made covenant with Abraham. Abraham died, and we know that covenant is still in effect. Not because Abraham was perfect, not because he did everything right, because he told a lie. He made some bad choices. His son told the same lie, made some even worse choices. And then his son, for some reason, had a son and named his son after the lie. That's what the name Jacob was all about, was deceiver. So God said, I got to change your name to give you what you're supposed to have because I already made a promise to your granddaddy. So God said, I'm going to make good on my part of the covenant. That's the kind of God we serve. So man is not perfect. He's flawed, but God is perfect. And he says, when I make a covenant, I keep my end of the deal. But God already knew that it was a covenant coming. He knew there was a covenant coming that would be an everlasting covenant between God and God. God became a man because he always made covenant with man. So God became flesh. He comes to earth in the person of Jesus Christ and makes a covenant between the Father and the Son and glorifies the Son, that you and I would be the beneficiaries of this covenant. What a grace. What an awesome grace. Now watch this. God gives us this covenant through his son. He gives it to us through his son. Everything in the Old Testament was a picture of what God was going to do. When God took Moses up on that mountaintop, he took him on that mountaintop and showed him things in heaven that you and I probably have not been graced to see. But these things were going on in heaven that in order for Moses to see it and take the same pattern and bring it here and make it on earth. These things were already going on. In other words, God was already showing his covenant because Moses feared God. He said, I will show my covenant to them that fear God. So he showed Moses the covenant, and he has him to build what's called the tabernacle, which was a tent-like structure. They could build a temple wherever they went. They could build a temple. In other words, the presence of God is accessible to you anywhere you go. You just got to know how to draw near. You got to know how to pitch your tent. Now, Moses built the tabernacle, and the tabernacle had three parts. It had the outer court, it had the inner court, and then it had the most holy place. This is representation of our triune God. This is representation of us as people. We're body, soul, and spirit. Your spirit is the most holy part of you. This is the part of you that God talks to and deals with. This is how you're born again. Watch this. So God has this most holy place that only the priest could go into. If anybody tried to go into that most holy place that wasn't chosen for that, they would die. And there was a temple that was built later on, a fixed stationary temple that was built later on in Jerusalem that represented this tabernacle. It was the same structure pattern, but it was not something that you could move around with like a tabernacle tent, but it was a temple building. And in that temple, there was a veil that separated the most holy place from the inner court. Now, you had the outer court, which is where most people, you know, would prefer to be. The outer court was for the fleshly folk. In other words, the outer court of the temple, all of the people could come there and, you know, worship. They were not so close to God. You know, we played that song in the beginning. You want to be close to God, okay? Well, this is how we get there. You got to understand his covenant. Now, watch this. The second part was called the inner courts. You know, this was a little bit different. It was a little bit more required of you. But in that most holy place, the only person that could go in there was the high priest. If he wasn't right, he was going to die in the presence of God. Now, he had to go in there, and he had to live a clean life. And he had to offer a sacrifice for sins, for the sins of the people and for his own sins, the Bible says. Now, in that place, he had to wash before he went in. He had to offer sacrifices and wash before he went in. He had to be pure and holy. But this was a representation of the new covenant. In the new covenant, we already understand this is about heavenly things. See, everything they built on earth and that God gave as a pattern to Moses, and then it passed down, you know, through David and Solomon, and we had Solomon's temple, and then Jerusalem, and you had the Pharisees and those people that were occupying the temple at that time. All that originated from what God showed Moses from a heavenly place. But then there was a veil that separated everybody else from that inner most holy place. Only the Levites or the priesthood, those were the only people that could go in that most holy place. Everybody else was forbidden. They would die instantly if they stepped foot in that place because they weren't called to that ministry. They weren't called to be a priest to offer any kind of sacrifices before the living God. He would destroy them because they were considered unclean. Okay? That was then, but this is now. So in this covenant, God is saying we all got access. Watch this. We all have access, equal access, but we don't all have the same measure or the same, we're not all in the same place. Some folk going to prefer to be on the outer courts because they're fleshly and they know that, hey, I don't want to get too close to God. He's too holy and it's going to require some change. See, the priest could not go in the presence of God if he wasn't clean. He would die. He couldn't go in there half-cocked. He couldn't go in the wrong. He had to live a specific standard of life. Now, the Bible says to the New Testament church, to the believers, it says that ye are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. So now he said all of us is priests. What does a priest do? He ministers before the Lord. But this God that we're talking about is still just as holy today as he was in Moses' day. Because everything Moses had, he got from God in heaven. God said, make sure you build according to the specific pattern that I showed you when you was on the mountaintop. In other words, Moses went on that mountaintop and ascended into the heavens spiritually, and God showed him some things. He sort of raptured up into the heavens, and God showed him some things about his holiness. He brought it down to earth. This is why he had to give him laws, because the laws was, hey, this is how holy God really is. You can't get down here worshiping idols and killing folks and committing adultery and lying and all those different things you want to do in your flesh. You can't get down there doing that and calling yourself of me, a nation of me. So, you know, he said, no, I'm not part of that. I don't do those things. I'm not going to have you doing it. So he gave him a law to set him apart. That's all the law really did, was set them apart, showed them the difference between clean and unclean, but it did not give them life. But now we step over into the new covenant. Watch this. Jesus sanctifies this new covenant for us, and we thank God for Jesus' blood. Hallelujah. You ought to take a praise break right there and just say, God, I thank you for the blood of Jesus, because without his blood, ain't none of us going to be able to stand before a holy God. Now, the new covenant, meaning God made an agreement. God made an agreement. See, when God spoke to Abraham, he made a promise. This is why he had to keep that promise and make good on his end of the bargain, regardless of all the mess that happened in Abraham's family. Jacob was a deceiver, and he tricked his brother out of his birthright, and you know, all this stuff happened. And, you know, you find a lot of evil things that sprang out of those family lineages that happened, but yet God says, I got to keep true to my word. I'm going to work it all the way down to the end. And he worked it all the way down to Jesus' birth. But he had to keep it, because when he spoke of Abraham's seed being a blessing to all nations, he wasn't talking about Isaac or Jacob. He was talking about Jesus coming through that bloodline later on. So he's telling us that the Messiah is going to be born of the descendants of Abraham. He's letting you know that. So Mary, the mother of Jesus, was a direct descendant of Abraham's people. Okay? So God is letting us know that he had to make good on his covenant or his promises that he made to Abraham, and he brings the fruition of it through Jesus Christ. Now, in Luke chapter 20, I believe it's 22, verse 20. I'm going to read this real quick. It says, likewise, also the cup after supper. Let me go up one verse. So people understand what I'm talking about. Luke chapter 22, verse 19. It says, and he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. So he's giving them the Lord's Supper. He's showing them, when you break the bread, it's a remembrance of me, what's getting ready to happen to him. It hadn't happened yet when you read this chapter. He hadn't yet died, but he's telling them prophetically, I'm getting ready to give my life for y'all. He says, remember this. Do this in remembrance of me. And it says, likewise also the cup. So he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. People talking about the difference between Old Testament and New Testament. The New Testament is in Jesus' blood. It's not just a written word. It's deeper than that. It's spiritual. It's a spiritual thing, because it all goes back to God in heaven. That's who we're trying to get close to. We're here on earth. We're earthly beings, but we serve a God that is from heaven. He's the creator and ruler of all heaven and earth. And the same Holy Ghost that's in heaven can live within you. Watch this. God wants us to be close, so close that we're one. Hallelujah. Watch this. He wants us to be one with him, so we got to understand his covenant, because as we begin to know the truth, I already told you the truth will do what? Make you free. Free. Freedom is a sign of this covenant. And a lot of people get this freedom thing mixed up. We're not free to do what we want to do, but we're free from the bondage of doing the will of the devil. We're free from the bondage of doing the will of our flesh. We're free from the bondage of the ways of the world. We're free now to worship God. That means we got to live holy. So there's requirements. Now, some saints have that outer court mentality. You know, they're just going to do enough to get by and hope the blood of Jesus covers them for everything else. But then you have those that's the inner court. They're curious. They're inquiring. I want to know more about God. That's where a lot of people are right now. I'm drawing closer to God. I want to know. That's why he's speaking to you about knowing and understanding his covenant. But then there's those that already have drawn close and have been magnetized to the Spirit of God, and they're drawn to the Word of God so deeply that it's just in them. It's ingrained in them, and they become prophetic in nature. And now they become priestly in nature. All they can do is hallelujah. All they can do is minister before the Lord, because they are now understanding that we are that priesthood. And we understand our high priest has already gone before us. When Jesus died, he just told you about breaking the bread. That's the representation of his body breaking. When he died, the Bible speaks that the veil of the temple was ripped from top to bottom. It was a great earthquake, and, you know, there was an eclipse, and all that stuff happened in that one day. And during that earthquake, it says that the veil of the temple was ripped from top to bottom. That means that God himself has now said there's no more separation. There's nothing that can keep you from me but you. Watch this. So there's no great ones that can be greater in this sense that you can't know God and you only can know him through me. Now, if you know that you're an outer court person, you can't hear God, then you might need to connect with somebody that can hear God until you get your hearing in line. But we all have access. Don't mean we all going to use it likewise. Don't mean we all use it in the same manner. This is why some people have more grace on their life, because they have received more knowledge. But we all have the same access to the same God. It amazes me how many people believe that other people can't hear God. And we have been taught this because we're still trying to live under that old covenant. That's why God wants you to know the new covenant. Under the old covenant, nobody could go into the holy place. Under the new covenant, if you are born again, you are a believer in Christ Jesus, and you've confessed your sins to him, you've made him Lord of your life, you're truly walking with him, and he knows you and you know him, and y'all are one now, and you're close to him, then in that covenant, then he said, hey, the door is open. The veil is gone. Let me show you this in the scripture. Watch this. Don't let nobody bewitch you into thinking you can't know God without them. You can't have a relationship with God without them. Because, see, what they're doing is establishing the old order, the Levite priesthood. And Moses is the priest or the prophet over that. And Aaron and the sons of Aaron are over that. So you got to do it exactly that way under that. Oh, that's bondage. God's not trying to bind people. There's a whole lot of people bound sitting in the church because they didn't listen to the old order. But the new order is Christ is the head. We all got access. That don't mean everybody's an apostle. That don't mean everybody got the same amount of authority. There is authority in the church. There is a hierarchy. They got set in order. There's apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, and everybody's not called to that. Everybody's not going to do the same thing. Everybody's not called to go to the nations. So I'm not saying that, but you do have access to a relationship with your God. And anything that's a hindrance to that is a veil of flesh, and it's got to be removed. Even Jesus tells you his body was broken for you. So who stands between you and God? It's Catholicism. Lord, I could go on about this one. A lot of this stuff has entered into the church, and a lot of the leaders have been bewitched by this mess and are bewitching God's people. And God said, I want my people to know my covenant. You know a sign that God is speaking through a prophet or a teacher or an individual because they're pushing for your freedom. Hallelujah. Because, listen, God wants you free. Not free in the sense that you're radical and do everything you want to do, because I already told you this is a holy covenant. The closer you get to the inner, not the inner core, but the most holy place, then the more holiness is going to be expected from you. That means you're going to have to fast and pray. You can't hang around people. You're going to be isolated sometimes. You can't hang around the same old crowd you used to. You can't talk like you used to. You can't laugh at everything you used to think was funny. You can't talk to people every kind of way. You got to watch your disposition. You got to carry yourself in a manner that's holy. You got to love everybody. You got to work on yourself. You got to hear God when he tell you shut up and sit down. You got to hear God when he tell you let them talk crazy to you and don't you say nothing. You got to hear God, because now you operating as a holy person in a holy place. Now, and you can't be more holy than Jesus. He didn't fight everything that came against him. He went to that cross and said, "Let it be, because I know I'm gonna rise in 3 days." Hallelujah. Watch this. I really want to get to these last two or three scriptures and expound on them and be done. But Hebrews chapter, I believe it's 10. And let's go to chapter 4, actually. I'm going to leave that one alone for now. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says this. It says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace." Listen, there's no more holier place than God's throne. But what he calls it right here, he don't call it the throne of truth. He don't call it the throne of knowledge. He says the throne of grace. In other words, it's because of God's grace through giving us Jesus and Jesus willfully giving his life for all of us, for all humanity, Jew, Gentile included. It don't matter. If you believe, then this is for you. He says now this throne is a throne of grace. That means it's his mercy that says you can come here and talk to me. And I'll talk back to you. You got to believe it. Let me tell you something. Hearing God takes faith. If you don't believe God is going to speak to you, then you're not going to ever hear him. If you think the only way God speaks is through the Bible and he doesn't talk and he doesn't have a throne, then you're just going to be stuck thumbing through the pages and trying to figure it out. But God will speak to you about your life. He'll speak to you about what's going on in other people's lives if he can trust you. I told you we all got equal access. We all got equal access, but we don't all have the same measure, because God's not going to trust everybody on the same level. But how much time you spend at that throne, how much time you get before him is going to determine, because he's going to look at you. He's going to examine you. He's going to ask you questions. Can I trust you with this? Let me see if I can work with you on it. See, we talk about trusting God, but God said, can I trust you? Anyway, right. That's a whole other message.
Hebrews chapter 8, 10 through 12.
Amen. Go ahead.
Amen.
Let me get
this
back.
This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. Verse 10, I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Yeah. Verse 11,
yeah.
None of them shall teach his neighbor and none his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least of them to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and to their sins, and their lawless deeds I will remember no more.
Amen. Amen. So he said, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy to find grace to help in the time of need. I don't know about you, but I need God. I need his help. And he says, I'll be a very present help in the time of trouble. We're in a time now where we want to know God. We want to be close to God. So our job is to push one another. Hey, you too can hear God. You too can get to that throne because it's open for you. Hallelujah. It's a throne of grace. And he's going to make you know that you ought to fear him when you get there. Now, if you get to that throne and he never deals with you about your sin, he never tells you that you got to change up, I doubt you talking to God. I highly doubt it. I doubt you talking to the God of the Bible, the holy God that's always been holy. If he's never convicts you of your sins and everything goes and everything is right and there is no right from wrong, that ain't God, baby. That ain't God. That's another spirit. But you'll get to know him by spending time in his word. spending time in prayer. And the Holy Spirit, he's holy. So if he's in you, he's on you, he's dealing with you, then he's making you in his image to be holy. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your covenant. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for the truth. We thank you, Lord God, that you did not just give us grace, but your grace is there that we may know you. And as we know you, we come into the knowledge of the truth, Lord God, because you are holy, Lord God. And as time gets closer to your return, you are looking for people that are holy. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Jesus said, he that is holy in that day, let him remain holy. He that is filthy, let him remain filthy. Father God, I pray that you would work on us, Lord God. We don't get stuck in a bad place, Lord God, but that we will know you and minister to you as a holy priesthood in the earth, in this day, in this hour, knowing what is at hand, Lord God, seeing what is coming, hearing from you, Lord God. We thank you and we praise you. We thank you for protection, Lord God. We thank you for your mighty hand of miracles, Lord God, and the blessings you have in store for your people, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. I thank you. I thank you, Lord God, that you are unraveling the works of wickedness. You're unweaving the things the enemy has tried to weave his web, to web people in. Lord, I thank you, you're undoing that, and you're bringing clarity and understanding of the scriptures, Lord God, to the hearts of your children. Even now, Lord God, I thank you, Father, for a wind of the Spirit that will blow into our homes, Lord God, and cause us to weep, cause us to travail, cause us to desire you more, cause us to want to know your word and to understand these scriptures, Lord, and that you will speak to us through these scriptures, Lord God, and make it plain. And Father, when you get through speaking, you'll talk in our ear. You'll bring us to visions and dreams and to utterances, Lord God, and to the gifts of the Spirit, Lord God, that they're not only working in the house of God, but wherever we go, we are walking, talking arks of the covenant, Lord God. We're carrying your Spirit. We're carrying your grace. We're carrying your power. We're carrying your deliverance, wherever you would place us, Lord God, and that the world will know that you are a living God by your Spirit in us and through us, but by your Spirit, Lord God. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. If anybody is desiring prayer today, dial 1. You may have a question or comment for Minister Sir Ryan. We want to give you an opportunity right now to dial 1 also. But if you need prayer, we want to pray with you, pray for you, and be in agreement with you that God is about to bless your life. Amen.
Lord, I love you. How I love you more and more, oh, each day. I just want to be close to you.
That you are loved, honored, and appreciated in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining us for our daily programming, and we sincerely thank you for your participation, prayers, and presence. If our ministries have been effective in blessing your growth in Christ, please join our covenant givers at provoke2000now.com to make all financial donations. provoke2000now.com. Again, we thank you for your willingness to covenant and to assist with the outreach ministry programs of the Now Network and P2P Ministries. With your help, we are able to respond and to meet the needs of the people and the communities that we serve. We pray that your life has been changed, rearranged, and transformed by the renewing of your mind. In Jesus' name.